that brand. Ports made in the house of the past that leads down to the den. She said, come with me. Hold fast to my ways. Keep to me. Rise like the hills. Let me show. All for you to know. I will raise your head and bring freedom to your soul.
Good morning. We're back again this week with Solomon on Blast. In doing this show, it's hard to know exactly what topics are going to be the most relevant from week to week. Sometimes it depends on what's making the news and whether or not it's in the what's trending category, and reflects just how confused our culture is. Solomon says there's nothing new under the sun. And so if that's the case, then to be really honest, we never really talk about anything new. So some weeks it's hard to know what path we're going to take. It's not like that when I go for my runs, though. I have a set path. I know exactly how far it is from start to finish. I take the same route every time. Sometimes I might add a distance, but it's always the same route on that added path. I actually have a couple different paths, one for during the day, one for at night. The daytime one, desert, mountain trails, which is just a little too dangerous to do at night, even on a night with a full moon. So my night route, I stay on the roads, but again, even there, I take the same path. On my daytime runs, I stick to the trails because there's no surprises most of the time. Every once in a while, rattlesnakes show up. But I've tried a couple of times to take routes that weren't part of the trails, but I find out pretty quickly that the well-worn path is a much safer one to be on, especially when you're out here in Arizona, a lot of cactus in the desert. The trails are there for a reason. They don't have the cactus on them. Unfortunately, the same thing can't be said of our culture today. Even though there are well-defined paths that have been in place and lead to a good destination, our culture seems to want to run off that path into the desert among the cactus. But in reality, if you study history, other cultures in the past have done the same thing. I know that's the case because all I have to do is look at Solomon's wisdom. He explains the value of wisdom. He says it's to deliver you from the way of evil, from those who leave the paths of righteousness, to walk in the ways of darkness, whose ways are crooked, and who are devious in their paths. The problem is, for the most part, that understanding of the value of wisdom is being lost, or at the very least, it's been forgotten again, because that there really is nothing new under the sun. So what is it that causes this, especially when we're supposedly such an advanced culture? It's the 21st century, after all. I know if we forget the past, we're doomed to repeat it, but there's more to it than that. I think a lot of it has to do with the current culture's tendency to think it knows more than those who were so-called backward country bumpkin ancestors we had that were just a bunch of oppressive, privileged white guys who just wanted to control the world in this country. So the culture takes the view that it knows much better how the world should operate and goes off on its own path. I think that's typically referred to as pride. Solomon understood this also because he continues in describing the value of wisdom by saying it is to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. That's pretty accurate with respect to our culture today. The problem with the culture that doesn't understand this is that they also don't understand there's consequences. Solomon's wisdom is very clear on the consequences also. He says, for her house leads to death, her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. The wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. But he also says there's some benefit. The upright will dwell, and the blameless will remain in the land. So what is one of those paths our culture has abandoned to pursue its own belief in with regards to what's right and wrong? That's going to be the topic of our discussion today. Here's a hint, but on the negative side, it's not the path of financial wisdom. The world's abandoned that one long time ago. If you want to give us your thoughts on what we're going to discuss, you can always call us. The number 750-7456. You can call us after the upcoming commercial break. But even if you don't call in, you don't want to miss the show. We have the privilege of having Pastor Harold Warner with us from the Door Church once again to discuss the topic as part of our One Greater Than Solomon segment. So don't go away. Stay on the right path. And we'll be back with more of Solomon on Blast to discuss our topic. Is the church relevant anymore? We'll be right back. All right, we're back with Solomon on Blast here on Power Talk 1210. That's John Lennon, Imagine. According to Wikipedia, he'd been given a Christian prayer book by a gentleman by the name of Dick Gregory, him and Ono, and that inspired him in the concept behind the song Imagine, the concept of positive prayer. If you can imagine a world at peace with no denominations of religion, not without religion, but without this my God is bigger than your God thing. So that's kind of where the history of that came from. Now, in this first story, I'd have to, let's see. Song of Solomon, I think, says it best. It says, who is she who looks forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun? I would say the church in some respects. Awesome as an army with banners. Well, it seems like the army's not going to be part of it anymore. Army is refusing to provide an honor guard for a church's 4th of July celebration. This is according to an article from Fox News that for the past 20 years, the army has provided an honor guard for 4th of July celebration at a Baptist church in Georgia. And this church actually predates the founding of the nation. The church itself was started around 1774. And for the last 20 years, the officials at Fort Gordon there have been sending an honor guard to their celebration. This is the Abilene Baptist Church. But this year, officials at the fort say they will not be able to send an honor guard to a July 5th service because it violates a military policy banning any involvement in a religious service. So is the church relevant, and is society, our secular society, really willing to embrace what's been there and what they've been doing for years? What do you think, Fred?
No, Doug. I think this story is very meaningful in that it's a bellwether as to what's happening right now, that our government is becoming increasingly more and more hostile, not just to religion in general, because they're not, they actually seem to be a little bit more open to Islam in some cases, but they're becoming more hostile to the church. It's interesting to note that Bill Clinton was president when they actually
started this
practice here at this church. And it, obviously, because it made sense. This church was there at the founding of the nation. You know, the first pastor was a veteran of the Revolutionary War. And so there's a lot of connections to American history and American heritage. But the fact that these guys today can't, not only they can see it, but refuse to acknowledge it, they're sending a message. It's a very clear message, unfortunately.
Yeah, and the funny part of it is officials at, and according to the article, officials at the fort, as well as the Office of the Staff Judge Advocate, reviewed the church's request and these guys are brilliant, they determined that they were in fact holding a religious service at this church. And therefore, as a result, the army was not permitted to take part. Now, I don't know when this particular change came about. Actually, I guess it was dated May of 2011, supposedly, this army regulation came into being, according to their public affairs office. So this is something that has been in place for about 4 years, and they'd been doing it prior to this, but somebody somewhere along the line found this regulation and made the decision that they couldn't participate in this kind of stuff.
Maybe it conflicted with the gay rights parade that particular day, because they have no problem providing an honor guard for that, apparently. And it's kind of ironic, being that it wasn't until very recently that you were even allowed to acknowledge that you were gay in the military. Right. That certainly doesn't go back to 1774. So, you know, we see a very politicized Pentagon, a very politicized policy, and more, you ask the question, is the church relevant? Well, there's some people out there that obviously don't think so.
Right. And it's in the military, which has historically been very, very much tied to the religious aspect of this country. If you really look at the history in the Civil War, both sides were very much believing and trusting in God for their success in that war, and a lot of revival came out of that Civil War, especially down in the South.
I mean, just visit the Lincoln Memorial, mm-hmm. and the biblical references, the direct that are there, that Lincoln refers to, and just God's even goes far as to say it was God's judgment for America's disobedience and holding on to the institution of slavery and all these other implications. I mean, these guys have a lot of work to do if they're going to go through American history take the church out of the history of this country. These guys got a lot. I'll tell you, the work's cut out for them.
Yeah, definitely.
They better start with a sandblaster, too, on many of those buildings in Washington, D.C. that have verses of Scripture etched into them.
And it's just... I find it interesting that it was just recently, 2011, that this has come down. So that indicates that it's most likely been a policy put in place based on the current administration that's in the White House.
Yeah. So. And this is definitely something that just follows suit with many of the other rulings and judgments that are being made today. And so, like I said in the beginning, I think this is a very significant story, because it sends another message to the church in America that you are no longer going to be recognized and respected the way that you're used to.
Right. Well, there was a Pew Research Center poll that came out last month, about a month ago, and it says America is changing from a religious landscape point of view. And so one of the thoughts we had was to invite Pastor Warner again and join us in a discussion as to whether or not the church is relevant anymore. So Pastor Warner is here. He came in a little bit early, so we have the privilege and the pleasure of being able to include him in our discussion a little bit early. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, Doug, Fred. It's a privilege, as always, to be here and really take part in a discussion that is very near and dear to my own heart.
So that's the question. Is the church relevant in today's society?
Well,
that's kind of the question we're approaching.
To ask that question is really to state the obvious, and that is the church has always been a relevant part of life in America, but even stretching back to the very first century, it has played a major, major role. And so just in the interest of full disclosure, at the very beginning, I want you to know that I am totally biased. I am in love with the church, because It is the one institution that the Bible says that Jesus loved and gave himself for. And so all of the statements that we hear today about the church's relevancy, in my mind, is a lot of hot air. Plus, it's an agenda that some people have. You mentioned the incidents of the church in Georgia, the real politicization of the military, who, you know, as you were discussing that, God and country really are wrapped up in the ethos of the military itself. And so I don't think the question is the church relevant, but is its message popular in certain segments of our society? That's really the question.
Right. And this particular article from the Pew Research Center says that the Christian share of the U.S. population is what's declining. That seemed to be what's really bringing out the headline. It says, while the number of U.S. adults who do not identify with any organized religion is growing, according to this survey, the changes are taking place across the religious landscape, affecting all regions of the country and many demographic groups. So while the drop in Christian affiliation is particularly pronounced, it's occurring among Americans of all ages. And while it's particularly pronounced amongst the young people, it's occurring among all ages. The same trends are seen in, according to this article, the whites, black, Latinos, college graduates, adults with only a high school education, and among women as well as men. Mm-hmm. So it seems to be, according to this article, according to their research, it's across the board. It's not any particular group.
Yeah, so you have a narrative that's being promoted today concerning the church's relevancy. And so that particular survey done by the Pew Research Company, which has a good reputation, actually, they've referred to it as the gold standard in surveys. The problem is people, Doug, are salivating and very, very quick to want to write the church's obituary and to take that particular study and come to some wrong conclusions. So the overall statement, which is that there has been a decline from 79% to 71% in those who outwardly claim or profess a religious affiliation, that's true.
Yeah.
But I can think back in my life. I'm 65 today. I became a Christian when I was 21, so I have a little bit of experience. And when these numbers are thrown around, I've always thought to myself, well, whether it's 79 or 71 or 82 or 63, I've always thought, well, where are they? Because it's not like the majority of them are very vocal or very outspoken concerning their faith. But I think the really particular aspect of that one study that I think stands out is that the evangelical wing, if you want to put it that way, of Christianity is not declining. In fact, there's been a little bit of uptick. Where the decline comes from is the liberal mainline religious denominations. These are the same people who decades ago jettisoned any kind of supernaturalism from its doctrine. This is when the debate concerning the virgin birth, et cetera, was popular, and the church was told, if you want to be relevant, you need to get rid of that message. Same thing's happening again. The difference being, I read one article, and I liked the way it was put, is that those same questions are being asked and controversies surrounding pelvic autonomy, which has to do with the sexual revolution. Uh-huh. And so the church is told, you know, if you want to be relevant, you need to get in step in this particular area.
Yeah.
But, you know, they were wrong in the past, and they're wrong in the future.
Yeah, and when you look at the study, like you said, the evangelical group actually, the study really only covered the last 7 years, and there was, from a polling perspective, there really wasn't any significant change in there.
I think there's two really important ideas in what Pastor Warner just mentioned. Number one is the two groups are the Protestants and the Catholics that are really going down.
The mainline ones.
So you want to go back to the Catholics. Many evangelicals today were Catholics yesterday.
Right.
And the other side of that is probably the real atheist side of it is probably coming out of the Protestant, the mainline. And something you said a few months ago when we looked at an atheist church service story. Yeah. Doug, you said, well, why don't they just go to a mainline church service? And they're virtually getting the same thing. Right. So, yeah, these people have departed from all the supernatural doctrines that make the New Testament what it is. And I think those two groups really give a lot of explanation to what's going on, you know, in the rest of the world of Christianity.
Yeah, what you have is those who previously would identify with Christianity or some kind of religious affiliation today are saying that they have no religious affiliation. The now infamous term, the nuns, that they put down none when it comes to questions about religious affiliation. And so really what you have is just some people being a little bit more honest than they used to be, whereas before it was culturally acceptable to identify with certain things. Today it's not quite as culturally acceptable, so they'll just check off none.
Yeah, you can get by the survey with the minimum number of questions that way when they call you.
But I was encouraged personally. I'm not ignorant. I'm not sticking my head in the sand. I know that this is a season where there are cultural headwinds that, and as someone who rides a bike a lot, I know the difference between headwinds and tailwinds.
Oh, yeah.
We're experiencing some headwinds, but I'm encouraged in that it is actually saying that in the umbrella called Christianity, which includes a lot of things, there's a push towards the evangelical or the gospel preaching believing side of the equation.
The relationship instead of the religion is basically what we're looking at from that aspect. All right, we're going to take our break here at the half hour. We'll be back with more of the discussion, and you know, riding that bicycle, you got to stay on those paths, and that's what we're talking about. Are people willing to stay on the paths? It's an interesting question. So we'll be right back. More of Solomon on Blast. You are still joining us here on Solomon on Blast this morning. We're talking about whether or not the church is really relevant. We have Pastor Harold Warner with us from the Door Church. As probably, I think, at least the fourth time he's been here, he's been willing to put up with us and our questions and putting them on the spot.
Yeah, so there's nothing staged. I don't, you know,
I don't give you anything ahead of time.
That's right. What kind of pitch is Doug going to throw today?
I'm going to throw the curveballs when I can. They seem to work the best. So I look at it and I say, you know, we have a very complex government structure today in our nation. It provides a significant amount of help in all areas of society and at all levels. I mean, when you look at whether it's at the city level, the county, the state, or even the federal level, there's a lot there from government services that can provide the things that people need. So is the church relevant from that aspect with regards to financial help?
Well, maybe. If you look at the history, both ancient past and even recent history, the church's involvement in compassionate expressions, humanitarian involvement, their track record is indisputable, whether it's helping people in medical situations. I know we've been involved in numerous medical missions all over West Africa. And so the church, as a body that expresses Christ's love to hurting people, you can't argue that. Hospitals, schools, orphanages, et cetera, are all through the church's history, again, both past and present. And this is why you hear statements from time to time of people who say, well, religion, and really they're implying Christianity, has done more harm to
right.
the social cohesiveness than it has good. Well, that's just blatant ignorance, because the church, whether, you know, the schools and universities in our country originated with the church's desire to educate its people and to create a platform for the preaching of the gospel, hospitals, and the list goes on and on. And so we have a dual responsibility, and that responsibility is to, number one, tell the good news, and number two, it is to express that in actual acts of kindness to those who are in need. You can't help everyone, but the church as an instrument to bring about the social help that you're talking about is indisputable, like I said, and probably can increase.
But one of the things, you made the statement, you can't help everyone, but the viewpoint of people is that the government can help everyone, whereas the church maybe at times will be a little bit exclusive in terms of who they are willing to help. How do you address that aspect of it when the government's going to be non-denominational, non-religious about it, and they're available to help anybody, yeah, regardless
really
of your viewpoint?
I would really contest the mindset that says the government can take care of everyone. There are many who argue just as well that they are perpetuating the problem by indiscriminate aid, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, there is a time where there is a kind of, and it's maybe it has to be understood properly, discrimination. I was just studying about widows. And the Bible talks about the care of widows,
yes,
but it was very specific who they were to be and the qualifications. And so it wasn't an indiscriminate, whoever's a widow deserves and needs this and that. It specified who qualified for that.
Right.
I think what's at stake here too, Doug, is, you know, going back to the Ten Commandments, and I think this is maybe something everybody understands and identifies. You look at the Ten Commandments, and the emphasis there, in order for society to even have a chance, has to be that, A, you have to worship God, you got to fear God and worship Him and acknowledge Him, and two, you have to ethically be ethical around your neighbor,
right.
Basically. Don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't covet, all of those things, don't lie. All of those things are based, only then can you have a society that works, and I think that's the point of the Ten Commandments. And so, simply to say, if you just take care of people, everyone's going to be happy. The old cliche is you're only feeding somebody for a day. You have to have a foundation. I think this is what bothers people maybe about with that question about the church. You think, why isn't the church making a priority out of that instead of out of the Ten Commandments? Well, without the Ten Commandments, everything else is not going to be that effective. I think that's the idea.
Yeah, and to me, at times, you don't see, in today's culture anyways, the fact that the church is doing a lot. It doesn't get a lot of media play. So the question is it really doing much? Have we kind of abandoned that direction of helping the poor? Because, and not on a church as a large scale view, but on an individual basis, do people have the mindset that, well, the government's got all these entitlement programs, I don't have to help the poor?
Yeah. Well, one thing is, in an indirect way, I was just thinking of our congregation, that we have saved the city of Tucson hundreds of thousands of dollars in the fact that there are people whose lives have been changed, who before were criminals, drug addicts, gangsters, relationally bankrupt, et cetera, et cetera. And so when you see a life like that transformed, that does work out in the community in all kinds of ways, that now they are productive. Instead of stealing, they're working. They're seeking to build their marriage instead of just throwing it away as something disposable. And so when you try to quantify that in
it's hard.
In a dollar fashion, it is very, very significant.
They become contributors instead of takers.
Right. But
and that's something that
you don't see that in the total numbers.
Yeah, you have a hard time factoring that in.
Right.
Hey, Doug, you have an anonymous caller.
Okay. We'll take that anonymous caller right now before we take our break. Good morning. Mr. Anonymous.
Yes.
Or Mrs.
You know, Pastor Warner just nailed it. You started this section off initially with an article about the military being banned from a service, a Baptist service.
Right.
Well, I can tell you I have probably a little bit more experience than most people on the back end of some of the things that happen in the military. And one of the problems that the military is having right now is a suicide rate is going through the roof. And this is not just a desert storm issue. This is not an Iraqi freedom issue. This is not a war issue. This is driven by the fact that you have people that are displaced from home. People have, you know, they get stationed somewhere else. They're lonely. And right now the military is also having a hard time filling the chaplaincy slots because a lot of chaplains don't want to come in militarily because they can't declare what they believe because they face heat. So you have people in the military, for whatever reason they joined, they have a need. The spiritual aspect has been taken out of the military. You know, military members used to fight for their convictions and what we believe. You know, it would be God's will that people would be free. It would be God's will that people would be able to stand upright and have infrastructure in their countries and live free. But that has been yanked out from the military. Now we have a hard time getting chaplains in. Now you can't stand up for what you believe in. You can't say certain things. And so it's so bad that last Tuesday, the adjutant general for the air of the state of Arizona had to come down to Tucson to address his entire units, well, all his units down here, because their DWI or DUI problem is through the roof. And recently, military member left an establishment drunk and killed a lady. And so it's really bad. It's really bad, and I think it's hurting America's strength. When you take God out of the picture, it hurts America's strength. You might not see it on the surface, but there's so much goes on behind the scenes. We need God in a nation. We need God's convictions. We need his hope. We need his help. And when we take that out and we legislate him out of the picture, then we start having the problems in society like we're having today. And Pastor Warner nailed it. As far as all the monies and the grief that the church saves Tucson. Well, that's Tucson. Well, what about Dallas? What about New York? What about what about the whole world? The church is a stabilizing. The church is a stabilizing factor. It's a redemptive institution. There's hope there. And when you take that out, you pay for it.
Right. Well, we appreciate that input. And you're right. There is a foundation there that when it's gone, we'll know it's gone because how bad things really are. We have to take a break. We'll be right back with more of Solomon on Blast right after these commercial messages. That's all we have to do is imagine, and the world will live as one, at least according to John Lennon. But we'll continue our discussion here with whether or not the church is
relevant. I wanted
to
throw this in, Doug, from the last caller's comments. And I think what he's saying is that the church's best work, even though the church is involved to a greater degree probably than any government on earth in human relief all over the world, the greatest work of the church is still spiritual. And this is what the detractors of Christianity hate to acknowledge, that the church's best work is still in the business of changing lives. And I want to refer to a recent comment by the president. Let's make this, no bones about it. The antagonism comes from the top when it comes to this government policy. But he said in a recent Georgetown University poverty summit, President Obama said that churches are more focused on fighting abortion and same-sex marriage than on relieving poverty.
And that was kind of my point, is that you don't see what's that happening, that the church isn't out there helping the poor. That's the issues that get presented in the media is, well,
yeah, that's
just
what
against
they trumpet. But number one, it's false.
Right.
But number two, what he's really attacking is that the church is trying to maintain its spiritual integrity at the same time, because without that spiritual integrity, the church has no real message, right?
And
what are you offering people?
Then the church truly isn't relevant.
You just become
an
irrelevant little wing of the government, and then you're not even that, because most people won't support you anymore, and they'll just dismiss you.
Well, let me ask you this, Pastor Warner. Is it really the current administration that's really the problem, like Fred just pointed out? Because I look at it from the aspect of the public education system. You know, what is it there for? It's to educate our children. But it was Bush's No Child Left Behind program that was an attempt to try and do something from a government point of view and improving our public education, and he was a conservative Republican. Does changing it the leadership at the top, is it really going to make a difference?
Well, leadership always sets the tone or the pace of the climate of things, but what we're talking about, if you ask about the church's relevancy, has nothing to do with whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, because the church's primary task, as Fred just referred to, is to address those ultimate issues of the human heart. What is life all about? Where am I going to find meaning? How do I discover a genuine hope? All of those things are the church's primary role and function, and no other entity on earth addresses those ultimate issues. And that's why the question itself, is the church relevant, isn't relevant, because the church is the only place that is seeking to communicate clearly to people those ultimate issues.
But if there's times where the church, the representation or the things that are happening, push people away. For example, in this poll, they said there was a lot, like you stated, there's a lot of these mainline Protestants and Catholics that are leaving that environment, and a good number of those probably because of the problems that show up in the church, especially the Catholic Church. We've seen that, numerous problems there. So if people see it as being very hypocritical, then it does become irrelevant to them.
Right. Well, you know, I am not an advocate and definitely not saying that the church is perfect. There's nobody, there's no human being, there's no institution on earth that's perfect. But when you bring up hypocrisy, of course, if you go to the supermarket, you'll run into hypocrites, but you don't stop buying food. If you fill up your car with gasoline, you'll run into hypocrites, but you don't stop driving your car. And so just because there's been, and we don't, you don't cover it up, you acknowledge where there has been shortcomings and failings, but you don't dump the whole institution because of certain failures in different places.
But I think people at times have the expectation that the church is perfect in some sense. And so when it has problems, it becomes much more significant. It gets much more
right.
publicity when that occurs.
Yeah, because we are a convictional institution. We, you know, bear testimony to another, which is Jesus Christ. But, you know, Jesus made it very clear, I didn't come to call the righteous, I came to call sinners to repentance. And that's why every church congregation, no matter what denomination or what stripe, is made up of sinners saved by grace.
Yeah, and for me, having come into the church world at a very late time in my life, when I was 46, I really didn't have that kind of church background. For me, that was kind of my thought process was, okay, you know, this is where all the perfect people are. And, you know, all I have to do is see how they live, and that'll give me direction and a goal to achieve. And then you find out, wow, there's a lot of people messed up.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually preaching this tomorrow, Monday, but it's like marriage. When you're dating someone,
oh, they're perfect.
They're perfect. There's no flaws whatsoever. But then after they're married, you get the phone call, you know, Pastor, this isn't the same person that I married. And I chuckle, well, no, they are the same person. You're just getting to know them.
Yeah.
And in any one of us, if you look close enough, long enough, hard enough, you're going to find flaws. You're going to find shortcomings. And so when I say that the church is made up of sinners saved by grace, I'm not giving people a free pass that somehow a good testimony is not important. But if people, even the detractors of the church, would be honest, we all fall short. There's none right. righteous, no, not one.
And it's interesting that the government, which people are looking to support us, or, you know, people that are looking for that entitlement or that support from the government, don't seem to have the same attitude when you see problems within the government, whether it's the IRS, whether it's individual congressmen or whatever. They don't just wholesale say, okay, we got to get rid of the government.
Yeah, at least in many aspects or expressions of the church, there is a conscience. We have a conscience, you know, mm-hmm. when we fall short. When I personally fall short, I feel bad. But right. you're dealing with people who will never acknowledge any kind of inconsistency, any kind of failure. And it's hard to carry on an honest discussion with people who won't recognize when it comes to a moral and ethical compass, we all fall short. And that's why the church is so relevant, because it provides people with that, and also the power to be able to grow and to achieve those things.
Now, the other aspect I was thinking of along the lines of the church is that you see a group of churches that are very much, I guess I would say, progressive. They have a view of progressive Christianity, and then you see the more fundamentalist groups. And there's a lot of conflict between the churches. So it kind of takes away from the focus of the churches when they're spending their time arguing with each other.
Well, maybe, you know, Fred may have something more to say, but I don't spend much of my time arguing with other churches yeah. because look around in the world. There is need all around us, and that's more than enough to occupy all of your energies and your focus. And so my personal opinion, anybody that's trying to do any kind of good, I applaud them. I may not always agree with certain positions, but the truth is we need all the help we can possibly get.
Now, I agree with Pastor Werner. I think in a church service, it's just time to preach the gospel and challenge people to be the best Christians they could be. But not just having said that, not right. that some of these progressive churches don't deserve real criticism. Mm-hmm. Because what they have done is they have taken the very message of the gospel and they have watered it down or bent it into some kind of acceptable idea, you know, to people that don't even believe in God. And in that convoluted state, somehow they are misrepresenting the gospel. That's my honest opinion. And I think, but I do understand the dilemma. I don't think that that message is something that I would spend time pounding into.
No, but the people outside of the church look at that and say, well, you guys can't even get your act together.
Actually, I think this is the forum for that, Doug.
Yeah, right. I agree.
And I think, too, the question of relevancy, we're told, well, if in that Pew Research study, at least the New York Times tried to say, well, the problem is the church has become too political. Well, right. You know, everybody's political.
Anymore.
But, the real issue in some of that opposition is not what we're saying, or excuse me, not how we're saying it, but it's what we're saying. The message itself
right.
Will offend certain people.
Now, it just so happens this week has been Bilderberger Week. And so all the world leaders have been out there, you know, deciding what the right world issues are and how to address them. That conference, is it relevant? I know you've got a conference coming up this week. What's going on there, and is it more relevant than the Bilderbergers?
Well, they're going to debate and then get on their private jets and fly home. But our annual conference every year, we have hundreds of people from around the world. Many of them we pay their travel expenses. We house them. We take care of them during the week for the purpose of clarifying our mission, which is still extremely relevant. I believe it is the hope of the world.
And by doing that, we can make that impact across the world that nobody's going to see and they can't quantify.
I can take you to nation after nation where there is a tremendous impact being made in people's lives, and so I'm glad for that.
So until next week, we'll be back. Keep thinking wisely. We appreciate your joining us, Pastor Werner.